If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Brewski, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
There's a lot of talk right now about the Epstein files. Every time the Epstein story comes back into the spotlight, the same pattern repeats. The headlines focus on politics and the core issue, the exploitation of kids, and the adults who may have looked the other way gets buried. These new emails are no different. They raise serious questions about who knew what and when, not about who wins an election, but about whether our institutions are capable of honesty when powerful people are involved. For years, this case has revealed one uncomfortable truth. The system protects adults with influence far more aggressively than it protects children who were harmed. And until we face that, nothing changes. So today, we are stripping off the politics. This is about right and wrong. I'll say right now, every person that we are talking to today, any person we're talking about, everyone that's discussing this, whether the person is right or left, the people we're talking about, whether they're right or left or center or whatever, if they had something to do with this involving children, they should go down. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. I don't care if it's someone I voted for, you voted for, everybody else, whatever. If you're involved in this shit, gone. No questions. No, well, their policies are this. I don't care. Your policies don't matter anymore because you're a monster. Transparency versus secrecy, accountability versus protection, and what these new emails actually mean for an investigation, an investigative and behavioral standpoint, not what anyone wants them to mean. Joining us is retired FBI special agent and former chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek. Let's start at the beginning. The thing that the big headline, I would say, as of right now, as these emails are coming out and people are digesting them, Epstein himself in the emails claiming Trump knew about the girls. From an investigative standpoint, what are the possible interpretations of that? Because knew something was wrong is very different than knew exactly what was happening. And in no way, shape, or form is that any way pulling back the curtain or saying, well, let's forgive this a little bit over here. Or like Megyn Kelly somehow questioning if an adult is into a 15-year-old that not being a pedophile. That was an insane comment. That's not at all what we're saying here right now. Let's talk about this specifically. And Trump knew about the girls. That's the allegation that is in some of these emails. Direct words of Jeffrey Epstein. Your thoughts.
So first off, I think it's important, and you just did a great intro, Tony, to talk about the political, non-political side of this. And first off, I want to kind of caveat this with, if you're hoping, if people hope to hear something when something news breaks, that means you actually have a bias. Because you want to hear something that's going to confirm what you want to hear. So when you hear something, because this is my reaction is to when I saw this break, my reaction is, oh, I hope I hear this. I hope I see this. I hope we learn this. My reaction is always is, oh, that's curious. I wonder what's in it. Mm-hmm. I wonder what this means for the investigation. And so when I saw these emails break, my first reaction was, huh. Let's see if this leads us to new leads, new information that we don't already have, because my investigative hat goes on based on a behavioral observation that now granted, here's the other thing too, a convicted pedophile trafficker of girls, so zero credibility that plays into it, says that someone was witting. Because then the first thing I do is I'm looking hard at, does this give us new information? Does it give us new leads? Or is this just tell us more of what we already knew. So that's the first thing I looked here. So Trump knowing about girls, okay. Let's see if we got any new leads we can do and new leads we can cover. So that was my first reaction was, do we have anything new we can start doing mm-hmm. something with?
Sure. And I'm not in any way trying to make this about Trump. Obviously, his name is being brought up in these new emails, which is interesting. It's part of the equation now. If it's there, he's there. And that's what we're trying to break down here. And I know a lot of people, and I think this is key. You have to deal with the facts on how they come, and what are the facts? What is reality on reality terms? And you're exactly right. I think the thing that people need to be cautious on here, because people get caught up in their own politics and this or that. And again, not trying to make this about politics at all. But if you already don't like Trump and you hear these are coming up, people are just salivating for information that's going to say he was doing this or he was doing that. Well, guess what? We don't really have that in a lot of these emails. We don't. But we do have mountains of shit over here that are pretty bad, that do point to awareness of what may have been going on, and a whole bunches of other shit with other people. So if we're just going to keep jumping on the train over here and going, well what about Trump and the girl? Like, well, there doesn't appear to be a lot about that. But there is a mountain of shit over here. How about we focus on that rather than, if you want justice, if you want people to be held accountable, go after the areas where that can actually happen. Let's talk about those areas, not just keep throwing platitudes and hopefully something sticks over here. There's nothing that's going to get you discredited faster and shut the conversation down as if you keep jumping on information that doesn't exist or keep claiming there's information that doesn't exist right now and keep trying to throw it out there. You're going to get shut down. And then no one's going to take seriously the other mountain of shit that you're not looking at. There's a big mountain of shit here, and that's what we need to be talking about.
Because the real goal of this entire thing is, because I really don't see, unless something, because if you just look at the arc of this investigation and you look at the arc of other investigations with high profile people, the likelihood that we're going to see anything at this point, especially the amount that Trump has been under investigation for so many things for so long, the likelihood of them coming up with more things that are going to implicate him or potentially even anyone else, unfortunately, at this level is pretty low, because we would have been aware of it already. There would have been indictments already. There would have been grand juries already. So we're just not seeing it. But what this gives us more things for, this mountain of shit, which is, I think, the really root cause and root thing we should be focusing on here, is this victim-centered transparency. You know, because this is what actually it's our attention on this. It's our ability to focus in on. Yes, it's not illegal, the things that are just disclosed, but what it is completely unethical. It's completely abhorrent. It's completely, you know, turning a blind eye because you don't want to get involved. You know, so it's our ability then to make the victims the center of attention so we can force the transparency, not because, again, prosecution wise, it's low, but what we can do is we can start changing laws. We can start changing statute of limitations. We can start giving people counseling instead of giving it to the perpetrators. I mean, because instead of handling the perpetrators of these crimes with the kid gloves, you know, let's take care of the victims. Let's make sure there's never victims again, because I think it's these kind of dialogues that force that kind of transparency where they also feel safe. Because I did such a deep dive on this one again, looking at the numbers. Again, we only have four of the victims out of hundreds that have actually spoken up because of fear or whatever else went on. Yeah. And then I also looked at this too, Tony and Stacey and Todd. The likelihood of, and this is why I say the likelihood of more coming out is so low. And here's why. I looked at the number of, because I know FBI agents that have been fired, that had quit. For whatever reasons, when the new administration took office in New York City alone, too, and across the DOJ, since as of yesterday, during this administration, I think 5,500 DOJ current staff are gone, fired, bought out, or quit under pressure. 30 plus FBI agents fired. 3 plus executives ousted. 90 plus prosecutors fled DC U.S. Attorney's Office alone. Maureen Comey, who was recently fired, was also the head of this investigation. So out of all these people, I'm telling you, if there was something in there that a disgruntled someone fired that knew something would be able to share and shed light on, it would have come out.
But isn't there just a level of fear? This is such a hot case. There are so many powerful people.
Yeah.
Very powerful people attached to this. At the end of the day, don't they just step back and go, I need my pension. I need my family to be safe. I need all of these things.
So in all these cases, those things are already gone. So fear does play into this, but then we can look at other cases that it didn't play into that were actually, you know, so you have Bill Cosby, you actually have Weinstein, Diddy. I mean, there's been a lot of very similar cases at that kind of level. I think the network of this was much greater, obviously. But there's other cases of, again, I'm doing is trying to bring a flashlight to shed light into dark places to understand why we're not seeing more when we know there's so much abhorrent behavior that was witnessed. And the reason why we're not seeing it is because I think fear always plays a factor into human behavior and why they're making these decisions. But when I'm looking at the numbers, I'm looking at past cases, the arc of probability of them being some bombshell coming out is pretty low because – for whatever reason, I'm just saying it's low.
And I don't know that it's supposed to be a bombshell or is going to be a big bombshell where everything is just neatly packaged and here's what it is. I think this is a slow drip. I think it's insidious. I think it's a lifestyle. I think it's a way that they lived their lives and how society functioned for decades, if not centuries. And it slowly crept into a world where it slowly became unacceptable. And there was half that are like, this isn't okay. There's half that are like, well, this is just kind of how we do things. Yeah. And we're looking at that intermingling, woven area where they're both kind of there. And we're more over here now, where there's not as much of it. But there was this. There was a level of it. But it's not just all a whole. And I think that's why we see these little pieces here and there, and why you have, I think it's death by a thousand cuts, but these are big cuts, every single one of them, and they involve big people, every single one of them. But all of them have different reasoning, different motivations behind the people who are covering things up. Some people covering things up out of fear, some people covering things up out of ignorance because they truly believe that there's nothing going on here. And some things, people covering them up out of shame, out of I lived in that world for a while, and it seemed like this was okay and normal, and maybe they participated in it, and they're like, that was really fucking wrong. But if this ever comes out, this is absolutely horrendous. So you have all different motivating factors as to why people are not talking about this. But I think as a consensus across the board, we can look at this and go, there's shit being covered up.
Yeah.
It feels like it.
Yeah, it feels like it. And that's the problem. That's the challenge of it. It feels like it. And I guarantee it is because this thing is so, just talking about it makes you feel so deflated, doesn't it? And here's why. Because when you read Jenna's book and you see emails and statements like this, and you hear Epstein's statements, Maxwell's statements, and you see the normalization that it seemed to have had, you know, and whether it's in this Epstein world, Weinstein world, Diddy world, you know, it's at high level when you start having this kind of power and control because of financial resources, the normalization of abhorrent behavior, really, it strikes you at your core of, you know, if this is the dream that people are trying to achieve and chase, well, who the hell wants to chase that? I mean, it really kind of resets and recenters your own personal compass too, I think, of what we pursue as individuals in the humanity, because this is not what we chase. But again, it shouldn't be, but that's why I'm the glass half full on this kind of stuff, as you all know, I am celebrating the courageousness of those that actually are calling, as Tony said, bullshit on this and saying, hey, let's full transparency. We got to protect and allow those people to feel safe that actually do have the information. Because at this point, you know, more prosecutions, it's going to be a challenge because the friggin' law is protecting them.
And I don't even care about, I mean, I do care about prosecutions, but I don't think that's even the goal of most Americans at this point.
Yep,
it's expose these fuckers for who they are, right, left, center. I don't care.
So we can't vote them in anymore. So we can't let them lead us. Yeah.
So they can't function. So no one's going to spend money with them. So whatever they have, whatever they're going to live off of, fine. And if we can prosecute them, great. If we can't, great. Whatever. But they need to be stopped and they need to be exposed. And this needs to stop being a norm and something that the rich and the elite and the powerful hide behind. And this is not, and I, in no way am I saying like this is a common, normal thing for most rich and powerful people. I don't think it is. I think you have a small sect where this shit goes on, and that's an even weirder, darker sect of society that does exist. But it's not certainly an across-the-board statement of people who are wealthy, who have worked their ass off to get there. There seems to be two paths that we go down here on this. You have either basically dismantling everything because, or dismissing everything because they're going to say Epstein's a liar. Is he? I mean, on some things he is, and other things he's been pretty blatantly honest to his own detriment while he was alive. And then you have people just believing everything because it fits a narrative of where they want to go. And the reality is, truth is somewhere in the middle of all this. And that's where, I think everyone needs to be very cautious as they get vitriolic about this information as it comes out, because you don't want to stake your camp in an area where, well, this seems like where I thought I wanted to camp. Yeah, but turns out it's not as fertile ground as you thought it would be. But here's the bigger camp over here that really needs some people at it. Like I was saying earlier, there's a lot of shit here. It may not be exactly where you think it was going to be or where it's going to land, but we have to deal with reality on reality terms. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of reality that's starting to come out.
I think the volume of people that are witting of what was going on, who did see girls running around, it's huge, because you can't have, you know, potentially 300 to 400 girls that were trafficked, if not more, that weren't witnessed by all the people that he was touching base with, because this is what he did. This is what he normalized in these people's lives. And so, yeah, I think that's what I think is, you know, because I know people say people are covering up. People, I think this is very, very much like the Diddy case. People that you would think would on the Diddy case would come and scream, say, I saw this. All of a sudden we had silence because of fear, because of at what level do you say I was witting or unwitting? And if I was just, say what I mean? People have rationalizing their own rationalization of it.
Yeah.
But transparency.
Well, I want to hit this right away, because this is the comment that we always see all the time in this conversation. Yeah, Bill said it right here. Yep. Why didn't the Biden administration release the information? Nobody can answer that. I can, because they were covering it up.
Yep.
That's why. Why isn't the Trump administration releasing it? Because they were covering it up.
I think both sides have been covering this for decades.
That's your answer. So like when we try to lead it down this path of political vitriol, no, it's not. Because they were covering it up. They shouldn't have been. They were. Everybody has been. All the way back to Clinton. All covering it up. Not necessarily because those in power or that the president, maybe, who knows, sometimes they may have been involved, but because there was too many other powerful people in their ether, in that bubble that they were protecting for whatever reasons it was. Not an excuse, but that's the reason. They were covering it up.
So and again, it's all powerful people protecting the powerful people. And I think what happened is this web is so big and it touches so many people that no administration could walk in and go, well, this needs to be released. They're going to go, we're in trouble.
No one can go into this conversation with a team and say, or a team that is Team Biden, Team Obama, Team Clinton, Team Bush, Team whoever.
Right. Other than team human. Like,
no, none of those can be on your team, because all of them failed at this. Every single one of them from every party. So you have to go into this independently and go, you all failed. Every last one of you.
100%. I've said it before that either we protect children or we don't. So either you're all in that we need to take care of kids from the beginning until they're 18, which means feeding them, getting them food, protecting them from predators, or we just don't. You can't do some of it and not all of it.
So you know, again, I keep going back to Jenna herself and Nobody's Girl and the things that she said in that book. She became, to me, I got my goosebumps and I'm getting misty thinking about her. She was one of the most courageous people in this entire thing. And I've seen in a lot of places, because she had the courage to say where she failed. And even though she didn't fail because she's a victim, she felt like she failed because she helped bring in other girls, yes. right? So what we need, so here's my challenge to anyone that was part of this. Fucking man up and say, all right, I did it. I was part of this and I'm going to take you all down with me.
Yep.
You know, because I mean, what all it would take is one person, because you're right. It's either none of this happened or it happened across the board, because that's the only behavior pattern we hear here is. And again, Jenna said it herself in her book that didn't serve her any good because she is gone. That is the greatest credibility you can have, that she got nothing from this. And yeah. she in her book was non-political whatsoever. It was across the board. It was scientists. It was researchers. It was presidents of universities. It was politicians. She didn't distinguish between left, right, and it was just everyone. Anyone, because think about this. Epstein was a pure soul ripper, not a human yeah. being, nothing. And so he did not have a political affiliation either. He was trying to service only himself by compromising everyone in every position, so no one could align up. So think about this. He could not create a team that could be against him, a party that could be against him, yeah. An oligarchy that could be against him, a university that could be against him. He had to compromise everyone in order to be successful, and that's exactly what he did, and we're seeing the downplay of it now, I think.
Yeah. I mean, this yep. is not a argument of us against them in terms of Democrat versus Republican or Republican versus Democrat or whatever. This is morality versus immorality. And that's the two sides. Which one are you on? And that's really what this is about. And when you start getting into the gray areas of, well, they covered up for this or covered up for that, and like, well, that's immoral behavior. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean that you know, you were, you know, doing the horrible things to the women, but if you were part of the immoral behavior, you gotta own up to it.
You know,
and so, whether you knew at the time or not, but you gotta own up. You gotta be honest. Here's what happened. Here's how I saw it at the time. Here's what reality is. This is horrible. It is what it is.
Step up and do the right thing.
And not all power corrupts absolutely. And what I mean by that. And we all think it does, because I'll tell you, just reading her book and being part of looking at all this horrendousness, you're like, oh, my God, I might as well just live in a socialist society because anyone that's got power just corrupt. No, I just finished reading Ryan Holiday's recent book on wisdom. It's the last of the four virtues of the Stoic philosophy. And I've read all his content and he leans left. He's very open about it. And he does a good job of going through here and he promotes Elon Musk and his how great he was at certain things. And then he goes into how he's completely downfalled because of how he treats people and how narcissistic and self-centered he is. He says the same thing about other politicians. And then I was thinking, well, he's just being politically sidelined here, but what he then does next is, and this is Robin Dreeke's half full connotation of this, he then goes through history. And through history, which he does a great job of, he highlights the people that did have wisdom, that did have power, that were not corrupted. I mean, we look at the Warren Buffetts. We look at Marcus Aurelius, probably one of the greatest of all times that we look at. We look at the Benjamin Franklins. We look at the Leonardo da Vinci's. We look at the people through history that did have the influence, that did have the power, that did have the innovative, yeah. creative spark in them to change societies. And a lot of these people we're mentioning here did until a certain point as well, until they're corrupted. So it is possible to be in a position of great leadership, of great influence and that kind of power and not be corrupted. And that's why we do things like this to hold that full transparency for these victims, to hold people accountable. Because without that loving critics, which I think us as a society is for our leaders, we are their loving critics and hey, dumbass, stop doing stupid shit and hurting people, because only when you do that, do you hold them accountable so that this crap never happens again. Can you 100%. Imagine?
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.